This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. It is Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn DeGeek from Ocala, Florida, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July the 17th, episode 1215. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. And never fear, Jamie is here. She'll be with us in 1 minute.
Hey, Horse World, it's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Friday morning. Jamie, are you there?
I'm here. I hate this computer that you sent me. I hate it so much. I can't stand it. Sorry. It's now telling me I have to download Skype. And so I'm like trying to download Skype and now we'll download Skype.
Well, no, you're not. It's not just that computer. Every host has had to do the Skype. Matter of fact, Reese was in the middle of the show last night and Skype decided to update and shut her off and made her reboot her computer. So. She was just gone.
Oh, my God.
It's just Skype this week. For some reason, this update, they insist you have to do it. So,
mine hasn't done that yet, so I feel a little bit like I'm
Yeah, yours is going to happen
any second
soon.
Now. Yeah.
Mine did it right before the show the other day, too. So, it's not just you. You don't have to feel special.
Oh, good. Lucky me. Lucky me.
Well, Jamie is on her last day at Flag Is Up Farm in Solvang, California. We have some special things prepared for you this morning. So we're going to go right to Jennifer and find out what's coming up on today's show.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, following Jamie's final installment from the Gentling Wild Horses Clinic at Flag Is Up Farm, we're going to go and have Monty Roberts himself join us and answer a few of the listener-submitted questions, and there have been lots of them. But early on, we're going to have Tootie Bland, another rock star from the horse world, on, and she's got the first big announcement for Road to the Horse 2016. And in the third half of the show, Equity MFG Really Bad Ads highlights the humor in poorly written classifieds. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my Daily Whinny goes out to, there's two-part Daily Whinny. First, it goes out to everybody who sent us emails over the last week. It's been after I sent out that letter thanking you guys. We got tons of responses. I sent some of them out to the hosts. I think you probably got that email with the big long list of responses. And we want to just thank everybody. It was very heartwarming and it was lovely. And all the hosts, I talked to Reese and Philip last night, and you know, we were talking to everybody about them, and I sent them off to everybody, and they said thank you as well. So we really appreciate that.
Yeah, it was really nice.
And then,
really nice to see.
All the way from England, Fiona Atkins posted on her Facebook page last night, just catching up on some back episodes, and I have to say a big thank you to Jamie for her fantastic reporting from Flag Is Up Farm. Your breakdown of how to stop a runaway was really helpful. I don't want you to leave either, as I am enjoying hearing about everything you get up to. Monty is just the best. I'm going to start saving my pennies now. Thank you. And that was from Fiona Crawford. So thank you, Fiona from England. We appreciate you listening. So everybody's just been loving your coverage from there.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, I'm glad I didn't come out here and everybody thinks it's boring. So that's probably pretty good.
You got some pictures I hope you're going to frame and put on the wall, too.
Oh, my gosh. Did you? I do have a Daily Whinny, by the way. But,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it. Hit the button. My Daily Whinny goes out to our listener, Tina. Our listener, Tina, came out here on Wednesday, and she was talking to Monty, and I kept hearing somebody say, Jamie this and Jamie that, and Monty goes, do you know Jamie? And she goes, well, I listened to her show. I was like, what? So apparently she lives about an hour from here, and, you know, Flag Is Up is open to the public, and she just drove down and hung out for the afternoon.
Oh, wow.
It was really neat to meet her. Yeah, her and her partner came out, and they also told me that, and this is you guys, this makes it all worth it. And not to be whatever, but I said, do you have horses? And she said, yes, my partner and I just leased 2 Mustangs. We've always wanted to have Mustangs. And after you got Thor, it just gave us the push we needed to do it.
Wow.
So how about that? 2 Mustangs in her house, all because of Thor. I love it. Made me very happy.
Wow, that's great. That is super. How fun. Probably made Monty feel good about it all, too.
I think that he knows that we're not talking to nobody. At least somebody's listening.
We have a few. So we only have a few minutes to really chat with you and catch up. And just let me know when your computer's done and we'll get you back on Skype so people can hear you better.
Oh, it's asking me all these questions and I can't answer them while I'm talking. So
okay. Well,
when you get Tootie on, I'll work on
it. Okay. All right, good. So before Tootie comes on here to make some announcements about next year's Road to the Horse, we wanted to find out just from you, can you give us kind of the Reader's Digest version of your last 2 days at Monty's Place?
Oh my gosh, amazing. We finally got a ride. Finally, it's been, 8 days of work for these guys, but they got a rider on the first Mustang yesterday. We started with 3, but we got down to 2 because one keeps scooping up. I think I told you guys on Wednesday, he's colicked once and he's still not quite doing what he's supposed to be doing, but he keeps scooping up dirt and eating it. So we've had to kind of lay off that one a little bit. And so we've got 2 and we call them Beauty and Skinny. One's really pretty and one's really skinny. Go figure. So Western to name horses like that. Like,
yep.
It's Brownie. It's Blackie. It's red. Right. It's yellow. So Beauty got his first rider on Wednesday. And then Thursday we kind of were able to get him ridden a little bit more. And hopefully I'll be able to post a video of it in a little bit. And he was a firecracker. But Beauty is a little more bold, where Skinny was much more fearful of everything. So he is still in the process. Hopefully we're going to get a rider on him today. But they've had to work a lot more. We've had to work a lot more on desensitizing him because he was a kicker. Kick, 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 kick. There was actually one time where Monty went out and he was like, give me the horse. That happens a lot. Just give him to me. Give him to me. So Monty went out there with the arm, and 35 minutes, Monty would touch and he would kick, touch, kick, touch, kick. 35 minutes, I thought, how is this horse going to walk back to the stall? And he's got to be so sore in his butt because he kicked so many times. It's like doing squats. After 6, you're about to die. Well, I don't know how this horse is able to do it, but that's his weapon of choice. And then the other horse, Beauty, his weapon of choice is biting. So we've definitely worked horses from both ends. It's been pretty amazing. And not that Beauty bites viciously, but he just mouths you and tries to control you that way. So it's been an incredible learning experience, and they've videoed everything we've done. So I'm sure it'll be up on the university or available online somehow so you can see all this, but it's an amazing process. Now, I've still been taking Monty. I don't know. He just got in the habit of giving me a riding lesson every afternoon. And Thor is a different horse. He actually announced that I traded my horse in for a new one. And everybody was like, what? He's a totally different horse. He stands still. He doesn't bolt. He's very soft. And this 2 weeks of boot camp here for him has been just amazing for him and me, learning how to breathe and relax and understanding that, I always knew horses felt everything, but they sense everything too. And I don't think I gave him enough credit for how much they do sense of your just adrenaline, your heart rate, and your aggression, your aggressive tendencies. Like, we're going to get this done. And it's just, that doesn't work. And the wild horses or former wild horses are even more sensitive. So I've really had to do a lot more relaxation with myself and to kind of keep more happier, because if you get tense, he gets tense.
And how is Edward's plastic bag training going?
I realized Edward needs all the same crap that Thor's been getting. So Edward is going to start a new life when he gets home. We need to work on relaxation and desensitizing him, because he's so dang spooky. And we're going to do a segment later called Ask Monty, because I had so many listeners emailing me, oh, we loved your training tips. And so I thought, well, let's get training tips from the horse, you know, the horse's mouth, the man who's part horse, Monty. And so we're going to do a little bit of that. And one of the questions we got was about spookiness. So I'm excited to sit here and listen to the answer. But, you know, you just, he needs a lot of assistance, if that makes sense. So we're gonna definitely start over with him.
Well, you know, I'll be listening to the spooky question as I was driving my pony yesterday, and we only had one baby bolt, and I managed to get him back within about 20 feet. So, you know, it's getting better, but I'd rather he didn't bolt at all.
Yes, I'd
prefer that way. Yeah, so I'll be very interested to hear that question.
Sounds good.
You know, I'm sure it involves desensitization and continuing to work to desensitize him to the things. But if your horse, you know, he just picks new things all the time. So, I can't desensitize him to the entire world. It's almost impossible, to every sound he'll hear.
There's things you can do. I mean, even with the sounds, like Edward spooks when he hears leaves rustling, and Monty's like, put a radio on static in his stall. I never would have thought of that. He's like, this is it. So anyway.
Yeah, he needs that, because that's that kind of leaves rustling noise that like horses are coming up behind him, going to get him. Like yesterday, I know exactly what it was yesterday. The neighbor horses whinnied. Now the first one whinnied and he didn't react, but the second one whinnied and then he reacted. And I was ready because I heard the horses whinnying. I said, we'll see what he does with this. But I actually thought about you, because I said, okay, I'm just going to stay relaxed until he actually does bolt. But I knew I kind of had a feeling he was going to, because I saw his ears go up. He's starting to give little indications now, but it happens so fast.
It's the same thing with Thor taking off. You got to let him take a couple steps, let him make a mistake before you correct him. And that was my problem, is I could sense the mistake coming and I would correct it beforehand, but they don't learn from that. They learn from making the mistake. So you're going to have to let him do that, Glenn. And sorry, it's going to have to happen. You're a big, strong guy.
I might have to ask Monty about this. I don't know how much experience he's had with carriages and driving, but
He works for the Queen. I'm sure he's seen it.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably seen it all. No, I think that what we're going to have to do, because we got so many, I think I have 37 questions for Monty.
Really?
And we can't sit here. Yeah. We can't sit here until tomorrow asking him questions. I'm sure he'll get tired. So what we need to do is maybe I'll see if I can get him to maybe do a little bit of a monthly segment. The Ask Monty segment. I know he does a listener email, so maybe we can get him to answer questions on a more regular basis. Oh, he's nodding yes. Sold. All right. So if we don't get to your question today, we'll be able to get to it later.
All right. Very good. And we have Jennifer is getting our first guest on the line here. She's trying to anyway. So in the meantime, she's having issues, she said, trying to get a hold of our first guest. So while she's doing that, while we have time to talk to you, what are one or two takeaways that you're coming away from these 2 weeks with? If you had to boil it down to one, two, or three quick takeaways, what would it be?
I definitely realized that I talked about it on Debbie's show too, was a couple things that stick in my mind. And the first one is just breathe. And they kind of all tie together. But I think Monty said the most important thing I've learned is just to kind of control my own adrenaline and take a deep breath. And then the other thing would be to slow down. You know, I get in such a hurry, and we all grab our horse, stick him in the cross ties, brush him, get on, and you know what? Some days, I'm not going to be able to ride. Some days, it's just going to be on the ground. And I need to stop setting my expectations for, to get this something big done. Because what Monty says is, you can make plans, just don't fall in love with them. You know, and I think that... that is definitely something I've learned this couple weeks.
Jennifer and I have learned that in 27 years of marriage.
Yes, congratulations on 27 years of marriage, by the way.
Wait, I mean, I can't tell you how many times we've made plans and we've learned a long time ago, don't fall in love with them.
Yes, this is true.
You know, I've learned that what you just said is so interesting because I've learned that with, you know, I've had a lot of ponies and horses and draft horses and whatever over the years, but I've learned more with Scooter than I have any of the other horses I've ever had because he's somewhat challenging, and that's forced me to learn. And one of the things we've learned is if he's not feeling like it that day, then change your plan to do something that's going to have a happy ending. Because he has an attitude, and he definitely has that pony attitude. And instead of forcing him now, okay, I'm going driving today no matter what, when I can tell now if he's not in the mood, then we're going to go out and we're going to do something else. Maybe we just go for a power walk together, or we do something. I don't let him win that, you know, we're not going to do anything if I'm in a bad mood, but we do something that's going to end with a happy, you know.
Hey, can you hear me on Skype?
Oh, that's much better.
Yeah. Oh, yay. All right, okay. Good. Sorry about that.
So we do things that we know are going to end it with a happy result. And I just have to say, okay, I'm not driving around the neighborhood today.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely, you know, I get on him. I'm going to have a jump school today. I've got to practice dressage. And yesterday I got on Edward with, I've got to practice some dressage. I haven't put him together. And I realized that this little jerk face spooks at everything. So I started using some methods. Actually, he would spook and kind of, if I would just leave the reins loose, he would spook and take off. And I thought, well, you son of a gun, I didn't know you did that because I always have them collected. And so just to ride him with a loose rein and kind of start over, I would pick up the trot and something would spook him and he'd canter off and like, all right, bud. Circles it is. Here we go. I know how to do this one.
Now, how do you feel about leaving the weather in California to go home to the oven?
I'm quite sad about that aspect of it.
I bet you are.
Well, you know, what is exciting, I do have to go home and I have to see the family, but I do have that extra third stall that's empty in my trailer and I'm thinking of cross-tying Monty in there.
I think you're gonna need some shackles too.
Yeah.
You're not gonna do it with just the cross ties.
I get him tied up in there. He'll be fine. I'll water him periodically throughout the trip home.
That's funny. Is he there?
He is here.
Well, it looks like we're having trouble getting a hold of Tootie at this point. Jennifer is let me see what she says here. Okay, so she's having trouble getting a hold of her at that point. So, Jennifer, if you do finally get to talk to her, just tell her we'll get her on one day next week.
Ooh, she got bumped for Monty.
Well, yeah, for some reason we can't get her on the line. So we'll just get her on next week. She had some announcements about Road to the Horse, but that's not till next March. And we have Monty sitting right there. So if he's willing to get started a little early, we'll do a commercial. And then you got enough questions, we might as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. 37 questions. Get ready, Monty.
Okay, let's let's hear from Kentucky Performance Products, and we'll be right back with Ask Monty.
She had waited all her life for this moment, dreaming about it since she was 10 years old. The trailer ramp touched the ground. He whinnied as she backed him out, swinging his head around to get a good look at his new home. His coat gleamed in the sun. Her love had arrived. She was breathless. He was beautiful. She could hardly wait to tack him up and start off on what she was sure would be the best times of her life. This love story is brought to you by Contribute, providing essential omega-3 fatty acids that help maintain low inflammation levels throughout your horse's body. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
All right, all yours, Jamie.
Wait, I'm sitting here talking to Monty, and he goes, you know, where we're sitting used to be a saloon, and there was a veranda, and so Frank Sinatra and I sat out here looking at the horses. You're like, you can't drop that bomb in my lap and expect me to move on? That's amazing.
Good morning, Monty.
Hi there.
Come a little closer
here. Get closer.
Yeah, I need to be a little closer.
1, 2, 1, 2.
That's better, yes. Good morning. So I'm so glad you got up this morning to join us.
Well, I get up every morning, but I'm glad to join you.
Well, good.
This might be a little earlier than he likes, but
you better have Pat, you know, keep the guard handy at the gate because I think Jamie wants to kidnap you on the way out. So,
yeah,
Wants to what?
I said that I wanted to kidnap you and take you
kidnap
home
with me. Oh, my word. I'm a bad hauler, though, so I get to climb in the walls.
Oh, my goodness. I'll give you some equine chill or something. Get him to calm down. Put him in there. Well, what I thought we would do today, Monty, and thank you so much for coming, is first I was going to let you talk about the course a little bit and kind of give us a synopsis of what's gone on in the past couple weeks.
Well, I have to tell you that it's not really a course. It's more like a family meeting and just sample of what we can do with really challenging horses. And we've had some extra challenging horses, and to just figure out how to meet their needs without demanding from them at all. And it's just been fantastic. We've had several countries represented in the group here, and enormous number of issues have come up that are educational. And remember that we don't really learn till we make mistakes. And if we make mistakes enough, you know how to buy a bad horse? Easy to buy a bad horse, isn't it?
Yeah.
The problem is to buy a good horse. And how do you figure out how to buy a good horse? You buy a lot of bad horses. That's a mistake, you see. And if we learn from our mistakes, that's the key to learning. And today's the last day, and it's a bittersweet time for me. I don't want this to end at all.
It has been absolutely amazing, and the weather and the company. And you know what's really funny, Glenn, is I say things all the time. You guys know I quote movies all the time, random movies, or make a joke, and most of these people don't get my jokes because they're not American. And I'm not as funny to other people in other countries.
Well, it's good sad. We're doing an American-based radio show then.
Yes, absolutely. I'm appreciative for our international listeners. And I do realize now that you guys probably don't think I'm funny. So appreciate you guys tuning in. So what I thought we would do, because I talked a little bit Wednesday, Monty, about the help that you've given me with Thor and the help I'm getting with Edward with kind of desensitizing. And so I got such a huge response from that. So many people writing, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving us training tips. So I thought, who better than to just talk to the horse about it? And I had listeners late last night. I mean, it was 9 o'clock on the East Coast when I posted a post and sent out a couple messages. Do you have a question for a training tip? Well, I got 37 responses by bedtime.
Oh,
so I haven't even looked at all of the ones this morning. So I picked out a couple that we could probably just get started and see how far we get. And I'm so excited to learn. And this is going to be, I can actually go back and listen to this one when I have problems, Glenn. I will listen to the show again. So my first question comes, are you ready? You good? Do you need coffee? You ready? The first question comes from Celeste, and it's kind of a two-part question. How do you stop a horse from spooking, and can spooking be an evasion, or is it always genuine fear?
Well, no horse can lie. And to spook from something that you're not spooky of would be a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So when the horse does something, it's genuine. And some people will say, oh, he's a genuine horse, or he's not genuine, he's faking it. And they can't do it. What we have to do is look inward to figure out what it is that's causing the spooking and how we overcome it, because it's always real.
Okay. And so how would you suggest, say I'm riding my horse and it spooks. And it's probably spooked 100 times. Why? What do you do as a reaction? Do you just ride on? Do you ignore it? Do you do circles? What do you do?
Well, the one thing you don't do, and it's a bad thing to tell people what not to do, because that's kind of like the Mona Lisa theory. But what you don't do is let your pulse rate go up. You don't startle with the horse. If you startle with the horse, then they have two ways to be spooked. And they will see that same object the next time, then read what you're going to do, and then spook again. So you do have to, for a certain amount, ignore. But it's just a matter of you saw it too, and then you settle yourself. You learn to breathe. Diaphragmatic breathing is a huge part of what I do. And remember this, that if you're doing your work right, repetition is your greatest friend. If you're doing your work wrong, repetition is your greatest enemy. And doing your work wrong includes driving your adrenaline up, your pulse rate up. It's very destructive to the horse's thinking process. So keep your adrenaline down, and that'll be a big part of doing your work right. And then repetition, repetition, repetition when you've got it right. Mm-hmm. You've seen me load horses that wouldn't load, and they load. They load fine. But the owner has been going up that ramp, looking them in the eye, that means go away, and getting their adrenaline up because they've been through this process so many times before, and then the horse doesn't load. And I get the horse right on the dually halter and coming up off of it and get them right that way, and then go to the trailer and just expect them to go in, walk in, and they oftentimes just walk in behind me in a matter of 2 or 3 seconds. So, spooking is a real problem, and it's generally a problem just as much for the rider as it is for the horse.
Okay, so Monty, I have a quick question here for you. I'm a driver, and I have a Hackney pony that has a spooking issue. Probably once every... By the way, it's very hard to not keep your have your adrenaline go up. I understand you're not supposed to, but boy, when you're in the moment, that's a difficult situation.
The magic.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, you know, you got a pony bolting, and he's heading, you know, down the wrong side of the road. Your adrenaline does go up naturally there, but so it's very difficult to do that. I'm getting better at it. I'm really working at trying to be calm in the situation. When you he spooks usually at rustling leaves, something that's horses running in a field, anything that he thinks horses are coming up behind him. So what you say about genuine, I think he's genuinely scared. You know, he's genuinely scared. How do you work through that?
You set up the circumstances as close as you can to the thing that spooks him. And for instance, the rustling leaves. What about a stable stall, a box stall, with bedding of leaves?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he walks through them. And you can get leaves, a lot of, come over here.
We
if
have
you
plenty
need
of those.
and then get a leaf blower. And a leaf blower is pretty scary itself.
Right.
But blow those leaves around the stall for a while and see what happens. And you can put a fan up on the wall that's an oscillating fan that moves back and forth. Uh-huh. And it'll rustle the things that spook your horse. It could be shopping bags on the bottom of the stall. It could be shopping bags hanging from strings from the rafters if up above is a problem. And an oscillating fan up there, it's not a big deal to get one of those and fix it to the top of the wall. And then that isn't good enough, because then that's his stall and that's okay. Now you're down the side of the road and here comes the leaves. So you put some leaves down the side of the road and you have somebody with a leaf blower and you drive by it several times blowing leaves at your pony. Now, as you do that, you may set it up so that you're not, absolutely not, in traffic,
right?
And you may set it up so that you're not hooked to a carriage that's going to get upside down on him.
Right.
So you have your harness and everything that you're
ground
doing as safe
him.
As yeah. safe as possible when you do these things.
Okay. Gosh, he's so smart. That's the thing is it if your horse has an issue, Monty's so good at figuring out a way to recreate that in a schooling session. The next question comes from Uta, and she has a horse. What do you do for a horse that is buddy sour and or whinnying for friends while being ridden?
Separation anxiety.
Yes, separation anxiety.
I have a chapter in From My Hands to Yours on separation anxiety, and I'll try not to use the whole chapter in the answer here, but you have to separate the horses. And, oh, I know, you've got a small place and you have two horses, and I know all of the problems with that, but you also have some friends, and they have horses. Generally, horse people have horse friends, and you exchange horses. You literally exchange horses, and he stays with them one night, and their horse stays with you one night, and you start to separate those horses. And you tie them up on rubber, on a rubber floor, so that they don't tear their feet up. And you let them dig that hole, if they can do it, through a rubber mat. And you tie them up and let them get over it. They've got to go through the problem and get over it. And then you pay them for that by taking them down and taking them for a ride and let them settle. But separation anxiety is covered, a full chapter on it, and it's not a terribly difficult thing to overcome.
Robin sent in a question and said, how do you correct a horse that bites? She has a three-year-old, and he's a pony, and he's a little stinker, and I guess it's getting very mouthy with her. You know, I've had clinicians say, oh, you whop him in the mouth, or you spook him half to death, and I'm just curious what the gentle method is.
Well, the thing is that I get this so many times, and the mistake was made a long time ago, feeding treats from the hand. When you connect food to the human body, you will get a horse that bites. It's actually training the horse to bite. Oftentimes I ask them, does he bite you when you're giving him the treat? No, he's fine when I'm giving him the treat, but I have to keep giving him treats. Well, isn't that the child in the shopping cart that's pulling all the stuff off the shelves the same way? So you have to deal with that. I've had trainers say you put a nail between your fingers and then you jab them with your fist with the nail going into their lips.
Oh,
that's a good one. And then we want to deal with head shy, don't we? So no, you don't feed from the hand. And then the idea is to get their brain in a different place. So if you just reach over and tap their shin with your boot every time they go to reach and bite you. If you tap the shin with your boot, you'll take their brain to a different place. I'm not asking you to cause them pain. It's not pain.
It's redirection.
Redirecting their attention to a little tap on the shin. And pretty soon, about the seventh or eighth time, they will go to bite you, and then they'll look down at their shin and stop the act of biting. So that's my advice to you about a biting horse.
That is absolutely genius. Okay, Robin, that should certainly help you answer your question. So I know I talked to you about this before. I didn't get the answer, but you said you have a very good way to help a horse to stop rearing. And I believe that this is I've worked with a horse that reared, and I thought, well, it's a pretty dramatic thing. It probably doesn't happen. I got three people asking me, how do you stop a horse that rears?
Yeah, and actually, that's one of the easiest things that I ever work with, is the rearing thing. You can stop virtually any horse from rearing almost instantly. Horses don't go where they can't see. They don't like to go where they can't see. So there's a thing called a pacifier. It looks like a set of blinkers. It comes with a hood, but it's like a T-strainer over the eye of the horse. It's a very strong metal screen that is dome-shaped right over the eye, each eye of the horse. Now, that gives you an enormous advantage because you have this goggle on him that's made of the screen, and you take some Gorilla tape and you tape off any place that you don't want them to see. So the rearing horse, you tape off the upper half. They can't see up. They can see where their feet go, and they can see all the traffic, and they can see the fences and everything from the side, but they can't see up, so they don't go up. It's a very easy thing to teach a horse to do, not a very easy thing to keep a horse doing. And when I was a child, I worked with five different Palominos that they called Trigger. Trigger 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And they had to rear because Roy Rogers liked his horse to rear and wave his hat at the crowd. But they don't like to keep rearing because it's a lot of work. So you can stop a horse from rearing easily. But it's called a pacifier. It's in my book, From My Hands to Yours. You tape off the upper half. The horse that lugs left or the horse that lugs right, check them out physically and then tape off the outer portion of each of those, and they won't tug you left or right, But oftentimes that's a physical problem.
Now, will they have to wear the pacifier for the rest of their life? I actually know the answer to this, but that is the next question.
Yeah, and sure, that's a thought, but they don't rear. So you're riding them and you have this on them for, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. I have some horses in high level dressage, and dressage is one of the things that they learn to rear in as a discipline quite easily, because they are often held from going forward and then asked to go forward hard with the legs or a whip. And the next thing is popping up. And then when they pop up, you go defensive. You yield to them. So they say, I'm in charge, and here I am rearing. So I have some high-level dressage horses that stopped it. Once you get them and you understand the reason why they were doing it, once you get them not doing it, then you can take your razor blade or something off the horse and cut about 1/8 of an inch off about once a week for a while. And pretty soon you don't have anything on and they're not popping up.
Fascinating. So just slowly begin to remove the tape from the pacifier. And I've seen it. It's almost like blinkers for a horse. You know, they strap it over the racehorses and they can't see bum. But this is a full cup, like a mesh strainer. And it's over each eye and they look like the fly, you know. That's what it looked like. And you slowly bring it away and all of a sudden the horse has kind of forgotten how to rear.
Works a treat. It really is a charm.
And I know that you used that as well in a online university video. And you guys can find out so much more if you go to MontyRobertsUniversity.com. Right now, and you know, they don't pay me to say this, but I'm a huge fan of the university, as y'all know. And if you go to MontyRobertsUniversity.com, there's a free pass. It's a subscription. It's not very much money. It's totally worth it. But there's a free pass, and I think the promo code is DayPass, and you can get an entire free day, watch as many videos as you want, and decide whether this is something. There's over 350 videos, so you're not going to get through all of them in one day. So you're going to have to decide whether it's totally worth it. Definitely, definitely do it.
We should tell them what it costs, because in America, it's about 26 cents a day, and that's about the cost of one stick of gum per day. And yeah. And in England, then it's about 19p per day and so forth and so on.
I didn't know the P was a money.
19 pence.
Oh, I'm like, sorry.
All right, Jamie. 19 pence a
day. It's early.
Yes,
oh my
that's
God.
Right.
I only had one cup of coffee. Okay. So another one that I got from Stephanie is, and I know Stephanie very well, and we've always competed together. And her question in general was, how do you help a horse that has anxiety at competitions? And to her extreme example is, her horse has anxiety in the stall at shows. When she takes him out, he does whinny, but he has extreme stall anxiety to the point where he kind of upsets the other horses around him because he paces and he moves around and he kind of freaks out a little bit. She does very well when she's riding him, aside from the whinnying. So you laughed. Do you have a solution?
Yeah, well, first of all, we deal with a lot of horses that have anxiety at shows. And I say, when does he have anxiety? Well, when I'm in a class, especially if it's a high-level class, he just gets really nervous and ratty. I can go in the little classes and not do so. What in the world are they thinking about? This is a situation where you have to say, my horse reads the program. He knows when there's a high-level class. He knows when there's a low-level class. No, no, no. It is the rider. And the rider goes to the show and gets tense. And so the horse is an animal of synchrony. They will synchronize with the rider, and they get tense. Now, the stable is a different thing. That's a new place. Mm-hmm. And you have friends. And they have horses, and you go to a new place. Every little local show you can get to, you go. And try to figure out how to tie your horse up with some rubber mats under him and let him go berserk until he settles down. And when he's standing there resting a foot, give him a drink, give him a rub, saddle him up, ride him around, and go home. But you have to go enough to strange places so that the horse becomes, when you're doing your job right, the horse will respond to you. So you have to give the horse an opportunity to repeat these things, and they will go calm about it.
Okay. And the whinnying, do you have any suggestions for a horse that screams? Because in dressage, and I'm sure in the under-saddle Western classes too, whinnying is kind of a deduction.
Yeah. When your horse, Jamie, is with you, they stop the whinnying. Now, imagine, I go all over the world, and I've done more than 9,000 horses now in front of public audiences. And when they come into a building, they're all in a strange place. And oftentimes, they're starters that have never been trained before. So they bring a friend along with them, and that horse is out in the stable. And they come in whinnying like a banshee, you know, and the audience is going crazy because the horse is near my microphone and it's over the public address system, and then the horse hears the echo in the building and keeps whinnying. But 95% of them will do no more whinnying at the end of about a 20 to 30 minute session because they're with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they stop the whinnying. So when your horse is whinnying and looking for a friend, give them a friend. That's you. And do the things right, and they will join with you. Join up is that act. So you can take that down. When you're doing your job right, repetition is your greatest friend. So you need to repeat these acts of going to a strange place and show them that there isn't any reason for them to become excited about it.
You know, I'm hearing a thread through all of this, Monty, and the thread I'm hearing is that as humans, and I don't think this is a new thing. I think kind of humans have always been this way. We're always in a hurry to accomplish things much faster than the animals in our lives are in a hurry to accomplish things.
I've heard about 100 times this week, take your watch off and throw it away. That is exactly what we've heard a lot of.
Yeah. When I was doing the shy boy thing, I remember Caleb Twisselman, a great kid, was with me on the shy boy thing. And I sat down at the campfire that night and I said, give me your watch. And he said, give you my watch? Yeah. So he gave it to me and I said, I'm going to put it in this little bag. And then I said, do you have any money on you? Well, $22 or something like that. And I said, give it to me and I'm going to put it in this bag and you'll get it when we're finished. And then I said, take off your buckle and give me your belt buckle, which he did, but reluctantly, and I put it in the bag. And he said, now what's all that about? And I said, well, horses don't care what time it is. They don't care how much money you have, and they don't care what you have won in the past. It's what you do with me now that counts. So all of those human things that we place importance on, the horse doesn't place any importance on that. We must deal in their world if we meet their needs.
Gosh, that's interesting. I mean, telling you how much I've learned here, just and you just, like I told you before, you asked what I'm taking away from this, and it was just slow down and breathe and break everything down. Like he said, okay, the next one is Lois.
Well, let me just pursue that one for a little bit yet.
Go ahead.
Okay, so
I'm excited.
So I think part of the problem is that. We feel in life, in everything else we do at work, at your job, if you don't get something done, you're made to feel guilty about it or you're reamed out. So we take that through other parts of our lives, which includes our horses, because that, you know, that's not something 99% of us do full time. So we take that, and if we don't accomplish what we set out to do that day, we feel guilty, right? Because that's the way we're trained to feel when we don't accomplish anything else we do, we're supposed to do in our lives.
Yeah, you're just going ahead with your life,
right?
Being a human.
Right, right. So that is something that you really have to consciously teach yourself, don't you?
Absolutely. You need to become horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sitting next to one right now. all right. Another question came from Lois. Gosh, I love that some of these questions, I already know the answers to, and I would have had a problem with them two weeks ago. My horse refuses to lunge to the left.
Oh,
what can I do? I know we worked on this yesterday, all week.
Yeah, and first of all, I'm not for single line lunging. I think it's the second worst piece of horsemanship on earth.
Why?
Single line lunging will cause your horse to travel with his head to the outside of the circle. There is no way to single line lunge a horse that I know of whereby the horse doesn't learn to go with his head outside the circle.
Because they pull on you and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, they just balance the weight of the line, if nothing else. And they learn to go around with their head on the outside. And when they do, their spine is curved in the opposite arc to the circle they're making. And that pulls every joint, every ligament, every tendon in the wrong way. It's asymmetrical for them. So I don't believe in single line lunging. If you have a set of side reins on and you shorten the inside rein a little bit and have some elastics on it, then your horse will travel with his head slightly to the inside of the circle and be a lot better. But free lunging is better yet with the side reins on. But if your horse won't go in a particular direction, we human beings say, I'm going to make him go in that direction till he's, 10 years old, and then I'll get it. No, go the way the horse wants to go.
This is like, Lori, this is amazing what you're about to hear, because I have seen this work. So you let the horse go.
Yeah, and most horses like to go to the right on the right lead more than they do to the left. So you go on the right lead and you say, no, don't go left, just go right and keep working. And then you let them go left. And when they go left, you only go a circle or circle and a half, and then you overtly turn them back to the right side. It's your action. And then they say, oh, that's good. I'll go right. Yeah, go right a lot. I'd like you to go right a lot. And most of the horses that we've worked here on the farm in this past clinic have wanted to go right. And I've shown them how to get the horse to choose the left direction. And they choose the left direction because they've worked harder to the direction that they want to go. And you do want to check your horse's physicality. You want to know that that horse isn't in pain to go in the direction that you're asking. But once you know that they're okay physically, then this will work. It's unbelievable what a miracle it is. And I grew up with people that said, oh, you make that bugger go to the left. If you, get a whip or whatever you have to do, then it's just wrong.
So what we've seen with the Mustangs this week is, especially Beauty, when we're doing join up, we each get in there and get to practice doing join up with him. He will run to the right as long as the day is, just right. And then you turn him to the left and you can get about a circle out of him before he stops and wants to turn back the other way. And as the week has progressed, he goes left just as much as he goes right now. I mean, when we sent the rider off on him yesterday, he immediately turned and ran to the left. So just let him, you want to go that way? Okay, we'll go. Giddy up. And eventually they're going to want to go. But Monty, you talked about lunging. You are a bigger, obviously free lunging in a round pen is perfect, but you also talk about line driving. As kind of more of a way to lunge your horse.
Yeah, well, if you put two lines on and you bring one around the hips, several things happen. One is the horse is getting gentler about things around its hips. But the other is that the horse is bilaterally symmetrical. So you have weight on both sides of his head, and his tendency is to keep his head in front of him then and not stick it to the outside of the circle. So double lunging or double line lunging, two lines on, is far, far better than single line lunging.
Okay. Last question, then we'll let you go up and have some breakfast. Is that good with you, Glenn?
Good with me. I'm not arguing with Monty.
Hillary wrote, what equine body language cues do humans interpret incorrectly the most? So when a horse says something to us, what are the most common thing that we interpret incorrectly?
Well, that's a difficult question because we have different cultures, we have different people, and everybody does interpret the equus language differently because of our own personalities. And it doesn't really matter which one we interpret the most incorrectly. We generally incorrectly transpose most of them. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, the horse that wants to go away, and I think maybe this is the most, the horse that wants to go away We want to go get hold of him and keep him from going away. And the best thing you can do is send him away. Mm-hmm. Send him away a lot. When he's tired of going away, use that language of your eyes, your fingers, your shoulders to draw him back. Don't go catch your horse. Let your horse catch you. Mm-hmm. And when he comes to you in the field, then you have accomplished your goal. Now, I just did one for a professional polo player, very nice lady professional polo player. And she paid a lot of money for a really high-level polo horse. And she couldn't take it to the matches because they couldn't catch it in the field. And it's out there with about 10 horses, and they catch all 10 of them, and she won't come near them, and they can't catch her in the field. And I said, no, let your horse catch you. Yeah, fine. Good thing to say. Mm-hmm. Let your horse catch you. You can't do it. And in two sessions here on this farm, now she comes to her at the gate before the other nine come over there. And it changed her that rapidly. And I've gotten four or five letters from her saying, it's working, it's working, it's working. And that's so gratifying, you know.
So what did you do in that session? Was it a round pen session? Is it a free lunging? What?
We started out in the round pen, and we rewarded her greatly with lots of rubbing and loving when she came to me for join up in the round pen. And then we progressively went to larger places and did the same thing in a large place. And you do have to walk some mileage to get it done. But we were in a place about 100 feet by about 50 feet rectangular, normal little turnout, you know? And when it happened there, then it happened in the biggest field we had as well. So not a terribly difficult thing to do. Let your horse catch you.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, that still comes back to that. The point that I think we're taking away from this today is she wanted to go play polo. She didn't want to spend 10 sessions trying to get her horse to come in. It comes back to, or, you know, can come up to her. So it still comes back to what we said, what you said at the beginning, your takeaway, Jamie. I mean, it always keeps coming back to that, doesn't it? It's we got to do it on their schedule and make it work for them.
Yeah, you have no idea how many times I hear people say, oh, that's fine, but I don't have time for that.
Right.
Jump.
You probably hear that 100 times a day.
Yep. I hear it all the time. I don't have time for that. Oh, no. So you go ahead and spend an hour a day extra for the lifetime of the horse rather than to spend a few hours in two-day time or three-day time to get the problem corrected. And then you have a lifetime with the horse without that problem. Mm. So it's a foolhardy sort of attitude to take, but it's human. And I understand what you're saying. We are humans, and we have a watch on, and we look at it, and, you know, we're locked into this human body, and I'm not.
Well, let's hope we have thousands of people listening to this today, like I am, going, okay, I'm going to be more patient with my horse. So if we learned anything from Jamie's adventure at your farm, I think that's a great takeaway, isn't it?
It sure is. One more. I just got another one from a girl who really, really needs help. And this is from Shannon. And she says, just because I'm curious, if a horse is sticky in backing up and they won't increase their speed a little bit, what would you suggest? Do you just hold on to them and wait till they go back, or what?
No. We want the horse to want to back up. So if you take some cattle panels, or you have a narrow lane, if you ride them into a narrow place and ask them to back up, they generally want out of the narrow place. Mm-hmm. So they'll back up and stroke them and then ride back in it. I put some panels just about 1 meter apart, or 3.5-4 feet, let's say, apart from the fence at the side of the pen or wall. And I ride them into this narrow hallway. You might make it 20 or 30 feet long, and then close it off at the end by bringing the end of the panel over against the wall. And you ride them into this little area, and then just pick your hands up very gently and step on your stirrups a little bit harder than normal and say back, 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 or whatever cue you want to give. It doesn't matter. They don't understand English, but you just give the same cue each time. And they'll back themselves out of that. And you can do it over and over again for, I say, maybe a half an hour today. And maybe for a week, you try it a little bit. And you'll have a horse that will back up readily, generously, and comfortably. You don't have to pull. You don't have to put a lot of pressure on. That's all in From My Hands to Yours as well, the book.
Get the book. Join the university. It's amazing how much all of this has just being here 2 weeks has changed my life. And Thor, Monty, is just a different horse. Having him stand in the driveway calmly yesterday while we were waiting on pictures. Oh, my gosh.
No, Thor is a perfect example of being a horse, which means he synchronizes with the animals around him. And he was synchronizing with Jamie every day. And Jamie wanted him to stand still. So she anxiously wanted him to stand still. So her muscles...
Dime me out. It's fine. Sell me out. Throw me under the bus. No. It's cool. It's fine.
It's no blame on you. But I think you saw it immediately that when she learned to just relax and let him make the mistake and then correct him for the mistake and leave him alone again and let him do his own work... Oh, Thor is, it's a miracle. What I'm seeing out there is an absolute miracle. She's cantering him around, crossing the arena. People are going around him with, you know, horses going every which direction. And he's just going along on the loosest rein you could ever imagine. And now in frame as well with a tighter rein and then loosen it. And he's still doing and stop in the middle of the arena facing the stable and stand there with the reins, almost to his knees, and not moving a foot. It's really a miracle.
It's not a miracle. It's your amazing incremental training that you do, and it gets me a little emotional because I you've not only taught me how to have these tools in my belt for Thor and for Edward, for every horse in the future, and you've definitely changed my life, and I want to thank you so much for having me. I see that you made a couple notes. Did you want to say anything else before we go?
No, I was just making some notes here to remember names and stuff so that, because I draw a blank at 80 years of age.
I'm Jamie, a lot of blanks.
You're Jamie. Yeah, right at the top of the list. But we do have Canada represented here. We have England. We have Wales, which is part of England, but she doesn't say that. She says she's from Wales.
They don't think
Cardiff
they are. They don't think they are. That's like a whole different language, too. Do you understand anything she says?
Yeah, she's pretty good. Okay. International.
Certain words, though, are hilarious. Do you have any paraffin or petrol? What? Gas? She's like, gas? What's gas? Just random stuff.
Yeah, and of course, the U.S. is represented, as you know. And Hungary is even here. So, the people that I've worked with, they're real people. They really are. And this next week now, I go into a military one. And oftentimes, these are not real people. They're remade people with the rigors of war. And that's a thing that I've been doing a lot more of recently. And it's one of the most gratifying things I've ever done in my life. And I'm making changes with them that is just, they're off the charts with success.
I know a guy with PTSD who just recently even lost a job. He can't even really work right now. And his wife is a horse friend of mine. How does somebody go about getting signed up for these clinics, the military ones?
Well, the military ones are done through military people that we have on staff. Mm-hmm. And they're out there talking to people at these various bases up and down California, but they come in from New York, they come in from D.C., Tennessee, Georgia, and they hear about us online mm-hmm. because we help them hear about these things online. But we have one girl that's finishing up at Harvard now in School of Psychology that was found homeless under a bridge in Washington, D.C., in a holy old sleeping bag. And she just won Miss Massachusetts.
Oh, really?
Miss Massachusetts, and because she's up at Harvard. And it's just amazing. Her life was over. It was finished, and now it's beginning again. And she's a gorgeous African-American girl that was mistreated in Iraq. And it's wonderful, but they're no different from horses that we say all these problems with horses that we have, they are connected to the problems of the world. And in the military, you get connected with those problems more than anybody wants to know. I was talking with a man last night who is a policeman with PTS. I call it injury, not disorder, PTSI, because it's an injury and not a disorder.
It
will heal. It will heal. And this poor guy was on a call a few days ago, and a guy was trying to kill his wife in a motorhome, and he was trying to cut his own throat at the same time. And he was trying to break into the motorhome, and the guy took off the motorhome and ran over his foot. And so he's going to come to my clinic in on crutches and with a cast on his foot. But that's all right.
Oh,
we're going to work on his brain a little and not his feet anyways.
Absolutely. Well, it's such a wonderful thing what you do for humans and for horses. And do get the book From My Hands to Yours. It's all these training tips that we had, and you can get all this stuff at MontyRoberts.com. I got to get Thor a dually halter. He needs a bigger one because Edward has taken over the black one. And you guys check out Monty Roberts University because it's just short 5-minute videos. And the stories of these horses on the ones that really build up, like Walter Won't Go Forward, where you see the pacifier used. It's just all very interesting. And just as horse people, it's just really fun to watch. It's way better than daytime TV, in my opinion, which is my other option when the kid naps. So I watch Monty Roberts University.
Yeah.
But we just can't thank you enough, and you've definitely changed my life with allowing me to be here, and I can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to so many people, and I love what I do, so I'm doing what I love.
Absolutely.
Thanks, well, Monty.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right,
bye-bye.
Take care. Well, we're
why don't
gonna,
you play a song, yep, and we'll come back with really bad ads.
Yes, we're going to get to really bad ads. I know we missed it last week, but we had the owner of American Pharoah here. So, you know.
That was okay.
Priorities, yeah. So we're gonna hear from EcoVet, and then we'll be right back after the song.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if your horse could enjoy a zone of repellency from pesky flies? Well, he can with EcoVet. EcoVet is an entirely new type of fly repellent that is safe for horses and those applying it, offering a real alternative to toxic pesticides like pyrethrins. EcoVet confuses an insect's normal directional ability, the bug's GPS, if you will. So if it can't locate your horse, it can't bite your horse. Dr. Wendy Ying from the Driving Radio Show has been using it in South Florida, also known as the Jurassic Park of biting insects, and she just loves it. EcoVet's active ingredients are naturally occurring food-grade fatty acids that have been clinically shown to improve the condition of horses with difficult-to-treat sweet itch problems. EcoVet is effective on mosquitoes, ticks, noceums, as well as flies. You can visit EcoVet online at eco-vet.com for more information or to order. You can find EcoVet at Dover Saddlery Stores and EcoVet's on Facebook. Just search EcoVet, E-C-O-V-E-T.
Days like this, so I know what's in store. It might get rough here for a while, but I'll be alright. I'm not afraid of the cloud I'm under. It's gonna roll on the way. Yeah. I don't even mind the thunder. It's all part of the game. So we'll single storm that passes, I feel more alive. I'm stronger for the troubled times and the tears I cry. I'm not afraid of the cloud I'm under. It's gonna roll on away. I don't even mind the thunder. It's all part of the game. Some say run for cover, but I say let it rain. Let it rain, let it wash over me. Cleanse my soul, set me free. Shine a light on another day, that's okay.
I say pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Well, that's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads. I know if we were going to skip Really Bad Ads one more week, Jamie, I think we'd be off the air. So
can I just, how awesome was that?
That was really
having
awesome.
Having Monty sit next and just answer listener questions.
Oh,
that was just
really awesome. And you know, even when he answers questions, he's gentle, you know, so it's, yeah. It's like, you really like listening to him, just his voice, everything.
I know. He's just an amazing guy. And at 80 years old, that dude is one of the toughest, strongest guys I've ever seen. I mean, just a through and through cowboy and a gentle cowboy, you know, it's awesome.
And he even eats less than you do as a vegan. So, you know, you felt right at home there all the whole time.
I did. You know, he eats this incredibly healthy diet. He did it to reverse type 2 diabetes, and he's lost, you know, 50 pounds, I think, and he looks amazing. And he while he eats this super vegetarian diet, Pat makes these hams and these steaks and everything for everybody else. I might have caught him stealing some.
Well, a bite or two. You know, that's okay.
A bite or two, you know. Yeah. So
I thought you were going to say you were stealing something. I was going to be shocked.
That wouldn't happen. I'm feeling. So anyway, I want to thank Equity for being a sponsor of our show. And, you know, this is facility that I'm at, Flag Is Up Farm, is the best. It is just the best horse training facility, and it's beautiful, and the weather is perfect. And I've got to be honest with you. And I sent a picture to Glenn, and maybe he can post it. Okay. You know what they use here? Every single person has a pitchfork. It's not a pitchfork. It's a manure fork. Sorry. And they're all Equity flexing forks. That is all they use here. They're everywhere. Yeah. And I don't know if Joseph has a sponsorship with them or did they just found the best fork. I'm sure that's it. I can't imagine he would give them 400 of them. So they're everywhere. They're attached to the manure spreader. They're just handy all the time. And it makes me so happy to see all these guys that, you know, we're using them all the time. And I just want to tell them, like, do you know how lucky you are to have that? That is not cheap. But, you know, you get the best and then you don't have to rebuy them all the time. You don't have broken
with an operation like that. That would get costly replacing those cheap ones about every 10 minutes.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And especially they have rubber mats here, and you know you can hook a rubber mat, and they just have the best ones here, and they're all the Flex and Forks. And you know, Tina, who came out on Wednesday, our listener, I said to her, I said, what do you do for a living? And she was like, she did a horse care business, but her funny answer was, I clean stalls. And I go, please tell me. I said, how many stalls do you clean a day? She's like, a lot. I said, please, please tell me you have a shake and fork. She goes, I have two. So she goes to a couple of different places. So she has her own, and then I guess the boss of the second facility saw the one and bought one for the farm. So, they really do work. They are fantastic. And I said, well, do you have a Flex and Fork? She's like, oh yeah, I had that for a long time. Same one, of course. So,
boy, if you're a professional stall cleaner and you're doing that, the farm to farm thing, I wouldn't do it without a shake and fork.
Once you use one, you're like, oh my gosh, it takes you a minute to figure out the trigger, you know, yeah. But we're all smart enough to learn how to push a button. And because it does have a great motor on it, a super solid motor. And the first time I ever did it, I pulled the trigger like I was shooting a gun, and I was like, and it vibrated the poop everywhere. And you learn to have like, as
you learn to be gentle.
The day, yes. Be gentle.
Bring your adrenaline down.
Jamie.
When you're cleaning stalls, bring your adrenaline down. Exactly. And that's just true for everything, I guess. It's going to my new mantra. So definitely they use them here. And if they can use them here, they're good enough for you and your facility too. So definitely check them out. EquityMFG.com.
All right, let's get started with some really bad ads. Today's prize is a box of crap, because I tell you, we're going to be honest with the audience here. We're kind of running out of prizes till we get to Ada in a couple of weeks, because that's always where we restock all our prizes. So we have one more box of crap here from my closet, which I really want to get rid of. So and also it's going to have some, we have a Horses in the Morning coffee mug. So this is the last one I had in the closet. So you're going to get the last Horses in the Morning coffee mug. And I have to be honest, there aren't too many people with Horses in the Morning coffee mugs. We send out a lot of Horse Radio Network ones, but only special people get the Horses in the Morning ones.
I have one.
Yes, you do. That's right. Now, Jennifer says if you don't drink coffee, you can use it as a pencil holder. So there you go.
Yeah, I don't want any more posts on Facebook that say, I don't drink coffee.
Yes.
Scoop your dog food with it.
Yeah,
come on.
We don't care.
That's funny. I have a coffee cup to scoop my dog food. See?
Curious.
All right, let's get started. You're first up.
All right, I'm getting to it. I have three computer screens at home. I just have one, and I know you guys are typing things to me, and sorry, I'm a little slow to get to it because I can't.
I understand. I've done the road before. It's not easy.
Okay. This one's pretty funny. Sienna sent this one in. Sienna, Rubbermaid 100-gallon stock tank, $50 in Montana. And the ad is, what can I say about a stock tank? Nice tank. Tanks a lot.
That person has a sense of humor anyway.
That's fine. What do you say about a stock tank? Tank.
Not much.
Tanks a lot.
It holds water. Hillary Bornman sent this one in. Black gold - aged horse manure. How come I always get the horse manure ones? Black gold - aged horse manure, $5 in West Milford.
What your wife thinks of you.
I guess. Aged horse manure for sale. And I'm aged too. All producers on the property. This is aged 2 to 3 years. This is the best beep.
Come on, you've said it on the show before.
That's true.
It's for posterity.
Okay, this is the best shit. Please email me and let me know how many bags you want for weekend pickup. Help me become an entrepreneur. Help me become an entrepreneur.
People are clever, and I can't believe I talked you into saying the S word back on the show again.
Well, it was in reference to a specific thing, so I can say it.
Yeah, you're right.
That's right.
I mean, that's what it is.
That's right.
Did I ever tell you how that word happened? You want a brief history lesson?
No, go ahead. Yeah, no, you haven't told us.
Okay, so they used to take fertilizer across the water on boats, and they had them as shipping. You know, they would ship it across the sea or wherever they would go. And what happens with manure when it gets no oxygen? you know what happens? It ignites.
Yep.
So they would take the big boxes of fertilizer and put them on the top of the boat and the top of the ship so it didn't ignite. So SHIT stands for Ship High in Transit.
Really?
Isn't that amazing? See, you
learned
something.
So
Ship High in Transit, because basically all the fertilizer had SHIT on the side of the boxes. So that's how that started.
I did not know that.
Thanks.
I did not know that.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, look at that.
That's so random.
You've become so smart out there in California.
I did not learn that here. It's an old bar story I heard. Maybe totally wrong.
Yeah, it's probably totally crap. It's probably shit.
Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. All right, we're going for the 3 days. All right. We're all in a good mood. It's Friday.
Yes, that's right.
I got a pack.
We're going
away. All right,
away.
Susan sent in the next one. Rope horse, $1,000 in East Tucson, Arizona. Selling this five-year-old black horse, really sweet, gentle horse, nothing wrong with him. He's really quick and smart. Started roping the Heel-O-Matic, asking $1,000 firm. Now, I'm sure she thought that the Heel-O-Matic was pretty funny. Is that the part that was funny about this ad? That's actually a real thing.
Oh, is it a real thing? Because I have no idea what she was talking about.
It's like you when you were like, this horse, they said it's a header. And yeah. I'm like, well, that means they rope heads. Yeah, this is what happens when you live in Arizona is you learn all sorts of crap about roping. The Heel-O-Matic is actually a dummy that for heelers, they're headers and heelers when you team rope. And the
was that like the fake cow thing on the little thing?
It looks like a butt, and it has these two legs that ping out and in and out and in and out and in. So that's the Heel-O-Matic, it's called. So sorry,
I thought it was a new insult from Dr. Scholes.
Yeah, no, it's a Heel-O-Matic. That's a real thing.
I am learning so much today. I really am. Jeez.
If you want to learn something, just listen to this show. It's great. Just today, though.
That's not going to happen. We'll go back to normal on Monday. Yeah. Tracy sent this following one in. Six-year-old gelding horse, $2,000. This is in Missouri or Montana. I'm not sure which one MO is. Off the track, 15-hand, one-inch quarter horse appendage. He said has an appendage. Was originally acquired for my daughter. However, she has moved on to cars and other interests. That'd be boys. Yeah, exactly. Can turn on a dime is extremely quick. He deserves a job.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Your daughter is
she's out of there.
Well, she's got a boyfriend.
First boy that came along, that horse was gone. $2,000 here.
My dad was hoping that would happen.
Yeah, I think all parents, you know, hope it delays the start of boys, and then when you actually get boys, they hope it goes away, but, you know.
Yeah, well, no, then they hope they can stop paying for the horse.
That's right, they hope that goes away. Yeah, they hope the horse goes away, and you can keep the boys then when you're old enough, but some just keep the horses.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Alyssa sent in the next one. Oh, good Lord, I don't even know how to say these words.
I don't either.
7 years old, Guelding, G-U-E-L, Guelding Tarog Habred. Tarog Habred. How's that? Did I say
that
it right?
That's pretty good, yeah.
That's pretty good. 16 3-inch, 1,200-pound, jumps small. Easy trailer, easy with farrier, $5,500. All right. That's a pretty expensive
small jumper.
For a Tarog Habred.
I have to come to her defense. I don't know. I don't know if I'm the only one, but every time I have to spell thoroughbred for the show notes, I have to look it up. I cannot get thoroughbred. Yes. For some reason, I cannot remember how to spell thoroughbred. So I am all with this lady. However, a Guelding, probably she should figure that one out.
Okay. Let me help you out here.
Okay. All right.
Thoroughbred. It's not that hard. Thorough. T-H-O-R-O-U-G-H. Thorough. Bred. B-R-E-D. There you go.
Okay.
Simple.
Thank you. See, you're a wealth of knowledge today.
You're soaking it all in, aren't you?
I am. Actually, we're going to the beach immediately after this show, so I ain't hearing any of it. Chelsea sent this one in. Oh, this is new. It's our horse trailer of the week. And it's one of the van types?
It's a horse box.
Yeah,
or a lorry,
wow, this is great.
As I'm learning, my lorry.
It's a horse box. Ford F700. Six horse Streamliner Deluxe aluminum horse van. Now that makes it sound absolutely wonderful, doesn't it? You just have this picture of this sleek aluminum horse van, and this is what it says: need some cosmetic restorations and a good cleaning.
No kidding.
It starts, runs, and drives very well. Ultra low miles. Floors all strong and sturdy. Has hauled seven horses in its lifetime? I don't know. Currently configured for four. Arizona registration and tag. Tail lights at rear need some wiring. Repair due to varmints.
Okay, let me actually point this out. I don't think this is a horse box, because a horse box is one piece. This is a pickup truck that somebody put a gooseneck
trailer on. You're right.
It's a gooseneck trailer set on a truck.
That's what it is. You're right. And they never said the age, did they? Because this looks to be about a 1955.
This is a 1955 Ford F700.
Yeah.
So, It's not even a horse box. It's one of those really crappy trailers with the windows busted out sitting on top of a truck.
And it may have been a Streamliner Deluxe edition in 1955, but yeah, the varmints have done it in. So, and it's no longer.
Yeah, there's more rust on this than actual metal.
Jennifer, post that one. That is a new one. We haven't had one of those before.
Man, that's awesome. Okay, Laura sent in the next one. Do it all horse excellent on trails. Great for beginner and up. $2,500. Meet Willie, a 9-year-old Appaloosa, 15 two-hands tall. Schooled daily, fluid and collective. Does trails.
fluid and collective. Pees a lot?
It's part of the Borg.
Does trails expertly. Crosses creeks, logs, bridges, brave and scoopy. At jumps, listen to this, brave and scoopy at jumps 18 inches. Well, he's really a scopy jumper. Look at him go over that pole. Big bone, easy keeper, sensitive, but brave. This horse has it all. Man.
Yeah. Okay, so if you read between the lines on this one, if you're jumping 18 inches and you're big boned, you're too fat to jump any higher. With you read between the lines, this is one big fat horse that it can barely get over that cross rail.
Yeah, easy. You don't call it. She can't call it fat because he's sensitive.
He's sensitive. That's right. And fluid, that's all in the neck and the belly. That's where the fluid is.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Robin Kane. That was pretty good, Laura. Robin Kane sent in the following one. Palomino Mustang, Northern California. So I'm just seeing if anyone is interested in my 5-year-old Mustang. He has been set up rocky, brushy, hard ground and has been rode on the flats barefoot. He is big and stout. Very gorgeous when sweaty. Very gorgeous.
And he's not stout. He's stout.
Stout.
He's big and stout.
Very gorgeous when sweaty. So when he's not sweaty, he's ugly as hell. Has a good stop and his beer broke. That's what it says. His beer broke. Been around dogs, four-wheelers, and lots of cows, asking $1,500. Didn't you expect the end of this one to be we'll trade for guns?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, or some sort of other non-eating animal. You know, when I rode in Western Kentucky on trail rides, they would say you need to get your horse drunk broke, which was you could sit on him and pop open a beer and get it out of your saddlebag, pop it up in a beer, drink yourself into oblivion, and a drunk broke horse will get you home.
Is that what you think this means, beer broke? Probably same thing.
You can open a beer can on its back and it doesn't spook.
I am learning so much today. This may not be funny, but it sure is educational.
Yeah. Let's see. We maybe just go to the last one here. And Edna sent in the last one because we're running out of time. Free hot tub. Ooh, I want a hot tub. Can also be used as a horse trough. $10. Wait. $10. I thought they said it was free. Looks like a 6-to-8 person tub. Needs deep cleaning. Can you imagine what this thing looks like?
I know.
Have never used it or had it running. It just came with the house. Horse for the taking. Bring your buddies and a truck.
Okay. If it's a 6-to-8 person hot tub, you're not using it as a horse trough. They could take a bath in it.
You'd have to bury it, drop it down and make it like a
pump. They're not just drinking water out of it. They're getting in there and splashing around.
Can you imagine walking outside and seeing a bunch of horses kicked back with, like, you know,
beer with because their beer broke, you know?
Yeah, their beer broke and they're leaning back, you know, having a martini, sitting in hot. Oh, yeah, I didn't know you were coming. I'm sorry. Get my towel.
All right. Who do you want to pick as the winner of the box of crap? Laura? You want to go with Laura with Willie and the fluid fat horse that can only jump 18 inches?
That was good, but I still like Sienna's the tanks a lot. Like, that's who clicks on 100 gallon stock tank thinks it's funny. And this one, who writes a funny stock tank ad?
Okay, all right, good. Like, you're right. That is the first funny stock tank ad we've had.
Yeah, it's just different. Yeah. Just different.
Right. Sienna, you get the box of crap, and there are actually some good stuff in there. Plus, you get the mug, which is coveted. Well, Jamie, I just got to take a minute and thank you so much. I know it's been tough having the assignment you've had for the last 2 weeks.
Brutal.
Yeah, I know it's been brutal. But thank you so much for bringing it to us. And really, you're such a good storyteller. I do feel like we've kind of lived part of it with you. So we do appreciate that. And I'm thanking you on behalf of all the listeners, too.
Oh, well, that's nice. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to me go on and on about it. I mean, I'm the lucky one who got to sit here. And, you know, I could think the farm and Flag Is Up and all the people here till the end of days, and it wouldn't do them justice. So I really appreciate that. I appreciate a boss that lets me have the job of just taking off for a couple weeks and let me do my thing and being out here. And so thank you for allowing me to come out here. And
we talk about, and I talked about this on the other shows this week, about how many of the listeners have gotten to know each other and become friends because of the shows.
Yeah.
You know, we've gotten to do some amazing things because of the shows. You're out there because Debbie heard about you on the show, right? She listens to the show and, you know, invited you and wanted you to come out for this thing. And, you know, I got to go sit in Elvis's barn and do a show. You know, we've been so lucky to be able to meet the people we have and do as many cool things as we've been able to do.
Well, and I'd like to give a special thanks to Debbie. I can't begin to thank her enough. And she's such a kind person and she is so genuine, you guys. And listen to her shows because she just puts a smile on your face. And when you're around her, she does that too. She is very genuine. She is exactly who you think she is. She is no other person behind the microphone. She is just heartfelt and kind and sweet and fantastic. I can't say enough about her and Pat and Monty and the whole crew here is awesome. I don't want to leave. I'm excited to go see the family, but I think I just want the family to move here. and thanks to you guys and the listeners, we wouldn't have a show without you. And I just want to thank you guys and thanks for sending questions for Monty. That was so exciting and so educational. It was awesome.
We'll be back Monday morning, 9 a.m. Talk to you then. Have a safe trip home, Jamie.
All right. So is your new thing, don't have a plan. Keep your adrenaline down. Be patient. Take a deep breath and spay, neuter, and geld.
There you go.
It's going to get really long.
It's going to get really long.
All right. I'll take this. You said the S word three times.